Yeah, for every day. Usually gets like 6 pages in, virtual pages.
We're probably not going to finish this in one night, are we?
See how far we get. Probably not. It'll get more complicated as we go on. We're talking about this called honesty is the best policy, because that's where it's going to end up, talking about being honest, right? This is Mishle talking about Mussar, ethics, the way we're supposed to behave, and Parag Yud Bed Pasuk Yud Aleph starts with Oved Admato Yisbel Lachem. Someone who works his own field will be satisfied with bread, will have enough food. Is someone who chases after nothing, Lave is a fool, is lacking intelligence. Right? Work hard and you'll have enough to eat. Chemed Rasha Matsud Ra'im, that the Chemda, the desire of the wicked one, is the prey of evil. What they want is evil. Yitain, but the root of the tzaddik will provide for them. Will provide for the tzaddik. It will give. So it's telling you that yes, you need to work. Don't have chemda for others' stuff. That's not going to provide. And there's a difference between kin'ah and chemda, right? The pasuk says lo tachmod, don't desire. We've talked about kin'ah before as a bad character trait. It's not explicitly forbidden. There's no pasuk in Torah lo tekaneh. There is a lo tachmod, and we've talked about kinah, jealousy, as mimetic desire. We talked about René Girard, the Belgian sociologist, that we want what other people want. We're social primates. We determine the things that are important to us by what we see other people do, so that we want I want what you want. That's kinah. That's jealousy. It's not so much I want what you have. I want the things that you want, because what you want determines what I want. It can lead to conflict, and Girard is all about that, and all about how that destroys society. But it all could drive self-improvement, right? There's a famous pasuk in the Gemara. It says, "Kinat sofrim," the jealousy of sages, tarbeh chachma, increases wisdom. Right? I am jealous of someone else who knows more than me. I can't take it from them. It makes me want to learn more. That's not a bad thing. Chemda is a sin, right? That's one of the Aseret Dibros. It's one of the top 10. Don't do it. Don't want what I don't want, in that sense of chemda, lo
DNA,
tachmod.
what's the thing about the Ten Commandment about not coveting your
That's
neighbor?
this one right here, right?
That's
Lo
Tachmon.
tachmod, right? Translated in King James is covet. Now, I never use the word covet, so I don't know what covet want means.
Covet is that you want what the other person has.
Right. So it's deeper than that, right? So again, there's no sort of kina, which is the jealousy. Again, I want what you want, even if you have it, right? Lo tachmod is a very specific. That's an actual avera. Like lo tachmod beit re'acha, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Lo tachmod ish re'acha, or not covet thy neighbor's wife. Ba'avdo v'mato, and his slaves, v'sharo v'chamoro, and his animals, v'cholosh re'acha, anything that your neighbor has, lo tachmod, don't covet, don't want it. Because chemda is not just wanting it. I want what you have. That's not, but let me correct that. But it's also make you give it to me. I press you into giving to me. You're just selling it to me. That's what chemda is. It's not just a state of mind. It's actually the action of doing something about it. This is the way the Rambam puts it.
So it's like Ahab in the field of his neighbor, no?
I'm sorry?
It's like Ahab in wanting the field of his neighbor.
Yes. But it's even stronger than that, right? Because he, like, actually, well, his wife set up false witnesses to condemn him. But here it's Kol HaChomed Avdo HaMato Beito V'Kelov Shel Chavero. So anyone who has chemda, who wants, in this sense of chemda, the slave or the house and the stuff of his friend, or anything that he can acquire. I want something physical that you have that I can get from you. And I pressure you, either negatively I torture you, I beat you over the head, of hifsirbo, or just keep nudging. Ad shelachol until you can, I can take it. Af al pi shenatan lo damim rabim, even if I pay for it, but pay more than market value. Right? I torture you, or I pressure you, to the point that you sell me your car because I like your car. That's chemda. That's lo tachmon. You can't do that, even though I'm paying you. Right? You're not losing monetary value. I'm not convincing you positively, right? It's right, yeah, something wrong. That is the lotas of don't tell. Right? So it's telling us we need to meet our own needs through legitimate means. I can't is the right word I'm looking for forcing you to sell something. I think it's more extortion.
Manipulate.
Right. That's interesting because, I mean, there's degrees there. I mean, I can nudge, I can keep begging you and asking you everything. Talking about lo tachmon, right? Shlomo says, Obeid malachem. If you work, someone who works their own field will have plenty of food, but someone who chases after nothing is a fool, has no intelligence, chamed that the chemda, lo tachmod, thou shalt not covet. Covet. I don't know what they're coveting. Of a wicked person, it's the prey of evil. You're taking evil, but sure, it's the kimitain, but the basis of tzedek provides. But we can't use chemda. So chemda is when not just I want what you have, but I pressure you into selling it. Even if I don't steal, I pay you full value. But that act of pressuring you or forcing you to sell is lo tachmod. So I was saying I need to work my own field. Okay? So that's important. Now it's important for the point of view, I'm not taking yours, but it's also my own interest. I need to take care of my own needs. And that's what he's saying here. Oveda, that's part of the message, and that's what Hillel says famously, Hui Omer, Im Einani Li Mi Li. If I don't take care of myself, then who will? On the other hand, Kshani lets me when I'm just for myself, Ma'ani. What am I? What's my point existing? And that's something that we've talked about Shimon Shkop in the Chumash here, and Avi Ben Nun talked about it at the Kollel Shabbos. Going to repeat what he said because I'm going to do the start from the same as the intro. Shimon Shkop was a Talmud Chacham in the early part of the 20th century. He was a Rosh Yeshiva at YU for a year. Still, the Chabad Chaim basically said, you need to come back to Europe in the 1928. So he did. But this is his introduction to his sefer called the Sheri Yosher. It's about taking care of yourself and taking care of others, right? Taking care of others is a good thing. I should care about other people. Amnam, the truth is, im yomar ha'adam, if a person says or decides tivo, to suppress his own human nature, to go to the extreme, to the point where you have no desire for your own good. I'm going to be completely dedicated to the other. Everything is dedicated to the others. I have nothing. I don't care about myself. I'm going to be at such an incredibly high level. And so there, I could come close to God's holiness. Right, God is giving. I'm going to be giving. That's what I want to do. Because God's will, but I got to learn with in both creation and in running the world. God is only doing things for the benefit of creation. It's not for God's own good because God is perfect, doesn't need anything. So everything God does is for others. So therefore, I should be like God and I should give all the others. That at first glance, you would have said, that if a person gets to this level of being completely selfless, you'll be morally perfect. So Chazal said, no, you cannot be completely selfless. You can't be like God in this way. God's holiness is higher than ours. Shekedusha Toyit Barach, and he translates Kedusha Masma. We use the word holy, but he's saying dedication. The God is dedicated. Rock the Nivrim, Lulasmo, dedicated to other, to the creation. Shalom Yitosef, Yitosef, Shum Yitaron, Labore, Alde Masab, Shasab, Oseh, because God cannot be improved by anything that he does, there's no such thing as self-interest. Shem, but Kol Ritzoni Barach Leitiv Nivraim, and God wants to do good for us. No, we're not there. But Vamasherod Semitana, what God wants from us is not like this. I am Enani Limili. Sharehara Rabbi Akiva famously said above Mitzia, discussing the case of you have two people in the desert, and one of them has a canteen of water. If you share it, both die. He says, Chayecha Kodmim, your life comes first. Save your life before saving someone else. You come first. Ramzu lanu, and so too when Hillel basically translates the pasuk of Ve'ahavta Re'acha Kamocha. What does he famously say when the non-Jew comes to say, convert me when I'm standing on one foot? And he says it b'derech shlili, in a negative way. Something that you hate, don't do to others. It's in the negative sense. It's not do unto others as you would have done unto you. It's a negative. Don't do what you don't want. But in terms of the positive sense, roila adam lakdim tovaratzmo. There, you're not expected to be doing everything to others what you do for yourself. You need to take care of yourself. We don't expect more than that. Makom should be so bria to Adam, and then there's the fact that inherent in our very nature that Hashem natah borei barach bo tshukat avat asmo. God created us with our own self, with a self-interest, with our yetzer hara, and you can't deny that. Trying to suppress that's just going to fail. Midah, we have a very strong sense of self-preservation, but it can't be completely selfless. Mizemuvan. So over here we can understand midat avat asmo yiritzuya b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this idea of loving ourselves, self-interest, is inherent. This is what God wants, because that's where we're created. But tzaddikim yelchuba, poshim. But tzaddikim can use that midah of self-interest, and push him, and the sinners will stumble on it, and they will fail by misusing their self-interest. And then he adds that we have to care about others, we have to care about ourselves. And we can balance that mostly by broadening our definition of self-interest. It looks when Hillel says, "Keshani latzmi," if I am only for myself, then who am I? It says, when my ani, when my sense of what I am responsible for, my self-interest consists of only atzmi, my etzem, my body, that I'm not fulfilling my purpose as a human being. My ani should be broader than that. What counts as my self-interest should include others, is the way he puts it. And look, in the Hashkafa Rishonah, at the first glance, Rikshe Avaratzmo, Rikshe Avatulato, that the sense of self-love, self-interest, and loving the other, the capital O, Heim Ketzerot Zulazo, they sound like they contradict one another. Lamik Bazeh, but we should try to understand this more deeply. We should find the secret that unites them. God wants us to do both. We have to somehow take this dialectic of self-interest, selflessness, and put them together to come to a synthesis. The school is zero, and this secret. And what it is, you need to clarify and define for every person exactly what the quality of ani, of self, in the term self-interest. Who am I caring about? That's going to tell you what kind of person every person is, what they consider ani. Okay, quiet. You can't hear them. You can't hear the dog.
All right.
It's a good directional mic. I can't think where the dog's barking like. And specifically the Mufsin's dog, he does not like that. Okay, so Hagish Hagasva Shafel. So someone who's coarse, a brutish person, a kol ani shalom, mitzumtzam rak b'chomro b'gufo. The idea of ani, the self-interest is entirely is limited to his body. That's all he cares about. The mali men, at a higher level, misha markish ani shalom, someone who feels that self, like, what do I care about? I'm interested in myself. B'nefesh. Just the body and also my spiritual nature. So I care about my neshama as well. That's good. So I can be self-interested both in my food and in my learning. Lama is it means at a higher level of this. Misha machnis lahanishalo b'nei beito mishpachto. A higher level is where I consider my ani. The things that are included in self-interest include my family. Most of us feel that way. Right, that's part of my selfishness is I want things good for my family. It's broader than just me, my individual. I'm gonna bring it to my family. And I can keep broadening that. The Torah asks of us is Hanishalo Kulela Kol Am Yisrael. I should feel that my self-interest includes the good of all Jews. That's not the highest level. Oh, yesh bazem ma'alot shel isha shalem, but a better person, more perfect person. Really, Hashish b'nafsho should implant in his soul, Largish shekolamo kulam hu ani shelo. The entire world is part of my ani. I care about everybody, and that's part of my self-interest. Hu asmo rak ke'ever katan b'toch ha'briya kula, and I am just like one little part of in part of all of creation. Vaz gam regesh avat asmo. So then, this set feeling of self-interest. Will Ozirla will help love what call Am Yisrael, that call Bria Kula will help us help love other Jews and love the whole world. If I can get, I know that's what I'm going to work. Not to avoid my self-interest, but have a sense that I'm part of a larger whole. But that's in my opinion, Marosh Hillel, and this is hinted at when Hillel says, "Sheomer im ena li li mi li." Shani me ma'ani, famous quote, right? I have to care about myself, but if I'm only for myself, what am I? Ani shiroi l'chol adam, damitz lidog tamid ba'at atzmo. Person always needs to care about themselves. Work for yourself. As someone says, oved admato, work your own field. Avalim ze'i damitz lavin. Along with this, you need to understand, she'i la'atzmi ma'ani, that if my ani consists of my etzem, of just my body, it's same if you limit it. Ani shalom b'chug tzar that you limit it within this tiny little boundary. Kvimarat ayin the way in terms of your stinginess. Rather, marat ayin is what you can see, right? I'm just going to have this tiny. Only it's only me and what and my personal interests. As ani ze mahi. Mahu, then what's the point of this of my existence? What's the point of my knee? Hevel hu, it's vanity, but kein nechshav, it's like nothing. Avam imtia hargashato matet. But if you really understand that you're part of this larger whole, that it's like all of creation is like one large organism. And you are one part, one limb in this larger body. Because then you're important. Because you as an individual, one out of 8 billion people, that's nothing. But if you consider yourself as an important part of that entire 8 billion collective, then you matter. Because in a larger machine, even the smallest screw that has some purpose in the machine, it's important. Every screw matters, otherwise it all falls apart. That the whole is built on all the pieces, and the whole thing is made up of all the details there. And that's what your self-interest should include, and realize that you're part of a larger whole. Therefore, your self-interest should also include and caring about the other. Micha Berger, whose book I just got, it's called Widen Your Tent, based on Rav Shkop's work, cites Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a lovely essay in, where is this? Orot HaKodesh, which I think it's worth reading. It gets very poetic because this is Rav Kook, so hopefully we can understand the Hebrew. It's called the Shir Merubah, the quadruple song. Yeshu Shar Shirat Nafsho. There are those who sing the song of their own soul. And they find within their own soul everything important. Et Malei HaSipuk HaRuchani B'Malav, to satisfy everything they need spiritually. Yeshu Shar Shirat Umah. And some sing the song of the nation. Yosehu mitoch ha-magal shenafsho pratit. He goes out of the limits of his own self. She'enu motzei otav merchevet karoi. That he doesn't find it broad enough. Just singing the song of myself. Lo mishrevet yeshuv ideali, and doesn't. It's not at the ideal state. Shoef l'murmurei oz. He looks for something higher. Who mitapek ba'ava adina im kol tesh al knesset Yisrael. Such a person who sings the Shirat HaUmah, rather the song of the nation, wants to be part of Knesset Yisrael, the whole community of Israel. Imahu shar shirah, and he will sing its songs. Metzar b'tzoreta, suffers with its suffering. Mishtakeya b'tikvateha, and participates in its hope. Thinks deep thoughts about its past and future, and searches deeply and intelligently into the deepest nature of what it means to be part of the Ummah of the Knesset Israel. That's the Shirat Ummah. And there are those who can even broaden their sense of self. And she say Yisrael goes beyond just being together with our Jews. The Shirat Adam, it's a broader song to sing the song of humanity. The spirit broadens in the knowledge, in the general knowledge of people, and the glory of what it means to be the Tzelem Elokim, the image that humanity has created. Trivia to the Torah Klalit, seeks its general welfare, and looks and hopes for the perfection of all humanity. And from this living source that that such a person searches out all of his thoughts, Shivato, all of his desires, all of his vision. That's the third level. There are those who reach out even more broadly. Someone is one with the entire universe. With all creatures, olamim, the entire world, sings with all of them. Parashat Shira. You've seen that, right? It's a probably late Amorek times, but maybe Tanaic, collection of things that all of creation says. The stars say this pasuk, the frogs say this, the birds say this. Parsha Girl has a nice little book about that, little pictures in there. But it says in the introduction there that anyone who is Osek b'Perek Shira, who delves into this Perek Shira, the song of all creation, b'chol yom, every day, Shemuftahu will certainly be Olam Haba. That's what someone who sings Perek Shira and feel to be one with the universe. That's the Shira Merubah. That's the four kinds of Shira. Isha'olem kol shirim halalu, biyacha. There's someone who can put all of them together, who sings all of those four songs. Themselves, the Jewish people, all humanity, and all of the creation. And all of them participate, all of them raise their voices. They all sing together. And each one gives life And Leshed literally means bone marrow. And substance to the other, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol tzala v'kol rina, all the joy, kol chedva v'kol kedusha. This ends up being the song of Kedusha, putting all that together. Shirat ha-nefesh, shirat u'ma, shirat ha-adam, shirat ha-olam. For self, the people, all of humanity, and the universe as a whole. All those songs sung together. Klon yachad mitmazgot. They're all mixed together at all times. That's the holy song. You should be able to sing all four of those songs. That's our goal. We care about all of those in their own way. Together, that's Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, that the Gemara says is L'melech Shalom Shalom. That's a song too. Hashem, for which that is the definition of Shalom. That's what he says. I think that's what Shlomo is saying here, that Shoresh Tzadikim Yitein. That's the base of being a tzaddik, singing all four voices. And that's Yitein, that's what we'll provide for all of us. If we're able to do that, care about ourselves, care about the other, care about all Klal Yisrael, care about all people, care about the whole universe. Easier said than done. The next section talks about what it means. Well, it talks about evil, and this is Pasuk Yud Gimel. The peches fatayim mukash ra. Evil is caught in the trap of the lips. Yatzei mitzara tzaddik, but the tzaddik can escape. Mipri pi ish yisvatov, of the fruit of a man's mouth, he'll be satisfied with good. If saying good, you end up with good. Mu'yi de'adam yeshuv lo, and people will be paid back for what they do, what their hands do. Gamol yadam. Derech avil yashar be'enav, the way of a fool is right in their own eyes. V'shemele etzach hakam, but a wise person listens to advice. And he starts with this idea, peches v'tayim mukeshra, that the evil falls into its own trap, lips. And we will, of course, quote Tolkien in Lord of the Rings, that oft evil will shall evil mar. So I like the quote, that sounds a little off. There's a comma there. Evil will, meaning the intention to evil ruins the plans for doing evil, because if you're not going to cooperate, not going to work with other people, then you're not going to be able to get as much bad things done as you would like. By nature of evil to break down and destroy things, they ruin their own plans. So part of being a tzaddik is to actually practice your tzidkut, to do the right things, so it becomes automatic. So you don't have to worry about complicated plots, complicated lies. And that's where the Malbim explains that the idea of shvatayim, of lips as opposed to the pi, tzaddik, the mouth. That he says that the words of the Rasha come from the shvatayim, from the lips. Dibur that they say, talking about Safa, and in terms of speech, as a metaphor, saying about the words that come out of your mouth. The famim lo yedaber pev lashon, not speaking with mouth and tongue, meaning from inside, just with the lips. Cholamar, meaning in this term of this image, enu machashev heitev, you're not thinking first. Speech of the svatayim, he says, means where you engage mouth without starting brain, which we do too often. Right, don't think about it first. Rocks for tevna. Oh, your lips are moving below tevunav eskel without any intel. That's bad. And then you're not going to think about what you're saying, and that's going to be the mokesh, the trap that you're going to end up saying something you didn't really want to say, and things are going to go wrong. But tzaddik should mean, hey, I call al pi tzedek, but practicing your tzedek, your righteousness. You're not going to say things that are inappropriate, in whatever sense that is. And then, similar idea is that, again, the part of the tzaddik is not only practicing doing right, but accepting advice, accepting lessons from other people, listening to when other people say you're doing the thing. That's derech avil yashar beinav, that the ways of the fool are right in his own eyes, but someone who listens to advice is wise. A wise person, who misha asaf ukeach chachma al nafsho minak heg b'hem. Someone who thinks about these ways of wisdom, plans on being wise, knows full well, lo yelech b'derech yashar b'einav, will not try to think, okay, everything I do is right. Rak yishmal atzad chachma shetadiyolo, that listen to others who are advising him, kiderech su acharito molei kotzim. This way you're going, it's full of thorns. Don't do that. And may take a path that seems less straight, less straightforward. When it starts, that will end up with good and happiness. Think before you speak. Accept the advice of others. Sounds like good advice. And then the next pasuk is about taking revenge. Possibly. Awesome. A fool reveals his anger immediately. Literally, a fool that day, his anger will be known. Someone who covers up their shame, a room is clever. Malm says it's about taking revenge. Okay, we know. The revenge is a dish best served cold. Supposed to wait. That's your advice here. As the Imam puts it. The wise way to go. The intelligent thing to do. To be patient. You upset somebody, hold that back. Don't show your anger immediately. Even if you feel anger in your heart, lo yigalena lachutz, don't reveal it externally. Don't show that you're upset. Himida, because anger is a negative emotion. It's good to suppress it. Shehi ganaylo, it's embarrassing for you. Meir al roa toch nafsho, and it says, yeah, just you're just a bad person if you're easily angered. That really the way in the ways of wisdom you should la rikha, you should be patient, should hold back the anger and not take vengeance at all. Not gotta get back the person who made you angry. Shnekama plus getting revenge, holding a grudge, plus and doing wrong to somebody else. Hagam shechata lo. That it is not only it is an avera, right? Torah says, lo tikom, lo titor, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge. Chukei is also not a good idea. But mi shelo lamad chukei chachma, but someone who's not that smart, not thinking about these the ways of wisdom. Yes, as mitzad will still hold back their anger because they're arum, they're clever. They're being sly. Im yichos. Because Emil gets angry, then yekalu, then his friends are going to belittle him. Yevazu and mock him, and all the people around who see you getting upset at somebody, they're going to make fun of you. Ha'arum, so therefore, if you're smart, not to say good, but if you're smart, kosek kilon, you'll avoid getting ashamed. Kideshulo because you won't be ashamed. Im kein mechaseh. So that's what it means to suppress. As he says, go secular arum, you're going to cover your shame. That's being smart. Right? You're not going to show your anger. Not because you're a good person, but because you don't want to get angry immediately. You're going to hold it, belive, or might. You're going to keep it in out of your cleverness, your intelligence. Atigiyazamania came. Until you get the right, until the right time comes to take revenge. In a point where you're not going to be embarrassed, you'll be able to simply destroy the other person. This is Arama, like the Nachash is Arum. Sly. It's not wisdom in this sense. Because wisdom would say suppress the anger itself. And don't keep that in your heart so you can take revenge on them later. Okay, but that's the arum. The fool, lo lavaj, she'enu mechasek ha'asom min alev. nefesh. Now, not only does he not being able, he can't control his anger. Hu modi'o tam gam l'cherim. He'll show it immediately, so everybody knows about it. Until he is embarrassed, till he's belittled. So both of these, according to the Malbim, are negative. The fool shows anger immediately. The Arum suppresses, he holds back the anger until they can take revenge at a more opportune time. But that's not the way we've understood Arma with Arum here in Mishlei. Elsewhere in Tanakh, it means it's a negative way, right? Again, the Nachash Haya Arum, the snake in Gan Eden was Arum, it's clever. But here we translate it as being sophisticated because it got Shmuel said in the beginning, right? He wants to to give to the simple Arma, sophistication, a little bit of cleverness. They can figure out what to believe and what not. So here I would read this as the way he's talking that Malbim talks about Derech Chachma, and that's the Arum, someone who's smart enough will in fact suppress their anger altogether. And that's why Steinsaltz says it, Hashomer Rukshotav Emitratzot to Arum, someone who holds back their emotions that are trying to burst out, is called an Arum, clever Navon, Poel Bovo Muskal, is acting intelligently. Try to suppress that anger. Now, if you look at the internet for advice and deal with emotions, all you find is, oh, how bad it is to suppress your negative emotion. You got to express, you got to tell everybody what you're feeling, right? Here we have an article from Psychology Today that suppressing emotions can harm you, right? Not every emotion is a pleasant experience because of how difficult some emotions can be. There's a shame, anger, fear, and sadness. Many people try to suppress them. Suppressing may seem appropriate in certain situations, but too much reliance on suppression can harm us literally by increasing our risk of dying early if not careful. That should scare you right there, right? Don't hold back. You're angry, just gotta let it out, right? But as Abraham Lincoln famously said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Because if you actually study that, it's the actual opposite is true. Here is an article where they actually did studies. This is from the PubMed. There we go. Improving mental health by training suppression of unwanted thoughts. You can do better. Right. And this is the abstract of this article here. Anxiety, post-traumatic stress, depression markedly increased worldwide during the COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know if you noticed that. People with these conditions experience distressing intrusive thoughts, yet conventional therapies often urge them to avoid suppressing their thoughts, plus intrusions might rebound in intensity and frequency, worsening disorders. In contrast, we hypothesize that training thought suppression will improve mental health. And so they took on 20 adults and they did 3 days of online training, and no paradoxical increase in fears occurred. Instead, suppression reduced memory for suppressed fears and rendered them less vivid, anxiety-provoking. After training, participants reported less anxiety, negative affect, and depression, the latter benefit persisting at 3 months. Participants high in anxiety and pandemic-related post-traumatic stress gained the largest, most durable mental health efforts. So staying 3 days, learning how to suppress your anxiety, anger, depression will make you feel better. These failings challenge the century-old wisdom that suppressing thoughts is a maladaptive, offering accessible approach to improving mental health. Training people to suppress fearful thoughts improve mental health, especially for those with anxiety and post-traumatic stress. So that's the idea. The Kisa Kilon, holding back your anger, your shame, is a room. It's the smartest thing. The smart, hold back those negative emotions. It's better for you. It's better for the other person because you're not getting upset at them. And you'll feel better in the end as well. Don't worry about it, like turning into a pot boiling over. That's what Shlomo was saying. I'm going to say, let's stop here. And then next, we're going to, because the next part is about honesty and epistemology and pretty deep philosophy, a lot of very large words. So we'll start there again next week.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.